السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ما عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers, the holy Quran Sharif in many many verses reminds us of the akhirat, reminds us of the hereafter, reminds us that this life is transitory, it is temporary, it is a phase through which we pass, that whether we like it or not, we will have to face death, and then there will be accountability, there will be a reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. Now, unfortunately, we don't like to listen to those verses of the Quran Sharif which deal with this issue of the hereafter, or the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which deal with the hereafter. Yet, if you look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of the discussion centered around the life of the hereafter. And yet, they were active people. They were not lazy people like us. It was not that they were divorced from the things of this world, or they had no knowledge of the politics of the world. It was not that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did not know how to conduct business, or there was none amongst them who was doing any kind of farming or business or anything else. They were in every kind of occupation that we can think of, which was halal, which was permissible, which was recommended by Sharia in some instances. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, they were governors, they were rulers, they ruled over vast territories. So we cannot say that they were divorced from the knowledge of this world. They had no idea what this world is all about. Sometimes we think that they only made namaz, they made some zikr, some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and they went to sleep. So this is our misunderstanding. They were very active people. They took part in the affairs of the society, but within the parameters of Sharia, within the framework of the Quran and Sunnah. So their discussion, if it was centered around the hereafter, most of the times when they used to get together, they're discussing the hereafter. So if the Quran Sharif discusses the hereafter, the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discusses the hereafter, then why is it that we have a resistance? We do not want to listen about the hereafter. The reason is that we have given our heart to this dunya. Again, I repeat that gold, silver, good car, good home, good clothes is not dunya. Those who say that we must forsake dunya, meaning that we must throw away everything of the material kind, then they themselves cannot do that. That person himself needs food, he needs clothes, he needs shelter. We need money to build masajid, madaris, to travel for hajj, for umrahs. We need money to help the poor, the needy. So that is not dunya. Dunya is when it diverts us from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we will notice that in the lives of the pious and the righteous ones, they were active in every field of life. They were not lazy. The person who says that because he believes in taqdeer, that is why he is not going to work, he is not going to go to the marketplace, he is not going to do anything. Allah Ta'ala must just drop it in his laps. That is not deen and sharia. Allah Ta'ala can give it without the person doing anything. But everyone who believes in taqdeer, he still goes to his business, he goes to his profession. The farmer goes to his farm. He doesn't say, because I believe in taqdeer, so now finish. Everything that I do has been ordained, destined, so I must blame Allah Ta'ala for all my weakness, my shortcomings. That is not a Muslim. A Muslim ties his camel and then he trusts in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So in the life of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, I don't know whether I discussed this in this masjid, but we go different places and we discuss different incidents. Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, and even if it was discussed, what does it cost to listen to it again, to renew and refreshen our iman? He spent 33 years with Hazrat Shaykh Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh. 33 years. Going, coming, spending time with him, learning from him. One day Shaykh asked him that, now that you are going home, what did you learn? In the 33 years, what did you learn? So he said, I only learned 8 things from you. He said, only 8 things in 33 years, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So you wasted my time, your time, 8 things in 33 years. But in any case, now what are those 8 things that you have learned? He says, the first thing that I saw, that people have love for something or the other in this world. There is nobody in this world that you will find who does not have love for something or the other. Love for some person, love for some things of this world. But he cannot live in this world without having love in his heart. And as I mentioned last night also in the majlis, that this is a very precious commodity, this love. It's a very precious commodity. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given this for a particular reason. If you look at the mother going out of her way for the child, late part of the night, early part of the morning, sleepless nights she spends, what is it that makes her get up in the winter nights and change the napkin of the baby who has had diarrhea half a dozen times she's changing? And she's not squealing, she's not complaining. It's that love for that child. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put love in the hearts of people. So it's a very precious commodity. But unfortunately, we have given this love to just faces. Sometimes those faces which are totally haram, we give our love for that. And then we destroy ourselves too in the process. And many a time marriages break down. Children are traumatized and so many things happen because this precious commodity of love is given to the wrong thing. And sometimes it's given to the material thing so much that the person does not know whether he's coming or going. His only concern is to increase that bank balance. So from the morning till the evening, he doesn't even see his children, he doesn't see the face of his wife, he doesn't see the home, he doesn't see anything. From morning till sometimes late at night, nothing but business. So that precious commodity of love is being given away somewhere else. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He gave this precious commodity of love. So in this world, you will love something, you will love someone. So Allah Ta'ala Himself has said that you must love your children, you must love your parents. And even the business, if a person has got love for his business also, but he doesn't exceed the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there's nothing wrong. So he says that I saw that every person in this world, he does love something or the other. But everything that he loves, he leaves behind the day he goes. Everything that he loves, he leaves behind. Nothing accompanies him to the grave. That kafan also is just being given so that we may leave this world in a modest state. Some covering for our satar. But there is no special designing. You do not have to go to tailors and have the kafan made and put a designer label. Simple kafan. Otherwise the person leaves behind everything, nothing. He takes nothing with him. Empty handed he goes. However, the thing that he takes with him is his actions. He says, I realize that the thing that he takes with him is his actions. And that's what I learned from the Quran and the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That his actions, they accompany him to the grave. So therefore I began to love good deeds and good actions. See, I made up my mind that I will only love good deeds and good actions. so that they accompany me to my grave. When I go, I don't go empty-handed. So then the question will arise that those actions, from where will they come? Good actions and good deeds, what do they mean? So you don't have to go again, as I've explained many times, to some other world to do good actions and good deeds. We don't have to bring another body. We don't have to use some other wealth that is hidden somewhere beneath the ground. The same wealth, the same body, the same children, the same home, the same business, everything, it will remain the same. The only difference will be that now this person will behave in a manner that is pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that will become good action. Now his smile in the face of his wife will become a good action. His caring for the children will be a good action. His educating his children will be a good action. His proper upbringing of the children will be good actions. His namaz, his roza, his zakat, his hajj, his caring for the poor, for the needy, for the orphans, for the widows, everything will now become good actions. In other words, these are the things that I will take with me to the grave. So therefore I gave my heart to good deeds and good actions. He said, Ahsanta, you have done wonderful. What a wonderful lesson you have taken. What a beautiful lesson you have taken. He said, I only learnt 8 things. So he said, this is the first lesson that I learnt. And in it is everything if you have to look at it. So he says, I made up my mind that I'm not going to go through it towards any haram action, haram deed. I will only do that which is pleasing to my Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is good actions and good deeds. So that in the grave I will take it with me. Otherwise children won't come in the grave. The wealth and the gold and the silver, nothing will come to the grave. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, kya qiyamat hai ki isse tu khabardar nahi. Without action, nothing else will accompany you there. The good actions or bad actions, that's what will go with the person. So he says, this is the first lesson that I learnt. This is an excellent lesson that you have learnt. Because the person will have to part with whatever he loves. Ishma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun wa ahbib ma shi'ta fa innaka mufariquhu wa amal ma shi'ta fa innaka tujzabi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that live in this world how long you desire. Innaka mayyitun, you are going to die. Death is definitely going to overcome you. And just look at the incidents, just listen to the incidents recently. Young people, fit, healthy, everything going for them. Look at that young couple in Ishawe the other day, 22, 24. 2 minutes before that they did not know, or a minute before that they did not know that they are going to become shaheed. Just over some small argument, and then petrol is put in the ship, and the whole place lights up and they lose their lives. And so many others recently, young people, fit and healthy, as I mentioned the other day also, that one undertaker told me last year or the year before that, that 60% of those that he buried were under 30 years of age. So qabr is something that we will have to face. Ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Ek din tujh pe khaak dali jayegi. Aane wali kis se tali jayegi, jaan theri jaane wali jayegi. Aane wali kis se tali jayegi, jaan theri jaane wali jayegi. Rooh rag rag se nikali jayegi, tujh pe ek din khaak dali jayegi. Can never ward off death. It's going to come. The soul will be extracted from every limb and every part of the body. And the best part is that nobody knows when it's going to come. Nobody knows when it's going to come. How much prepared we should be. How ready we should be. Honestly, I tell you that when I get up in the morning, I have got absolutely no yaqeen that I will see the evening. When we are driving also, we don't know whether we will reach the destination safely or that motor car will become a mouth car. Who knows? Look at those people who passed away in Mina, as I mentioned last week. That is a different story, that Allah Ta'ala blesses some people with shahadat. Now those people who passed away in this type of accidents and disasters, it's a shahadat. But look at the lessons that they leave behind for us. And therefore I received just very recently a long letter from one of the young persons from Stanger. One day I will read it inshallah in the majlis. But he says that after you mentioned that incident of those young couple and their two or three children that passed away in the car. Now so many young couples and so many people with their children have passed away. So therefore you can't speculate and know who it is. But I know because I was dealing with the estate. He says, after you mentioned that incident, that family members had to enter that house. Because the husband is gone, wife is gone, children are gone. So family members had to enter the house. And they had to open the cupboards for the sake of distribution of the estate. And when they opened the cupboard, then that person who was seen in the masjid and very, very active in social and other dini work, very active part, and taking a prominent position even in a masjid society. But then when they had to open his cupboard, then they found porn films inside there and porn magazines there and so much of other filth in the computer. Now can you imagine what kind of embarrassment, shame and humiliation? But we always think that no, the day I go, my wife is going to sort out everything. When the wife goes, then I will sort out everything. We are not concerned about what skeletons we have in our cupboards. There are many people who pretend to be pious. We've been leading two lives nowadays. One life for the public image and another life within our homes. There are so many people who are living two lives. And that is what is the name of hypocrisy. That is what you call hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is that when you are two-faced. One face for the public, one face for the in secrecy. So there are so many people like that. That they've got things in their homes which only their wives know about. When they have marital problems, then everything just blows out. There's an explosion after that of what the haqiqat of the person is. Who are we fooling? Who are we deceiving? Who are we cheating? You think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not know what's in our homes and what's in our lives and what we are and who we are? So when they opened the cupboards, this is what they found. So I mentioned this in Stanger during the Ramadan, that my young friends, my dear young friends, at present the technology is advancing at a rapid pace. Very, very rapid pace. You can store many, many things now in the computer chip. And even in your cell phones now, which has become another big bala and fitna of our times. With a press of a button, the person can download any filth that he wishes to. And the person thinks that everything is secure, everything is secure. He doesn't even think that ek din maut, ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi, ek din tujh pe khak dali jayegi. The person just doesn't think because he's jawani. Shabab wa shobatum min al junoon. Youth is a branch of madness. But leave the youth, how ashamed you feel. When these type of things are discovered in the homes by the grandchildren and they say, my grandfather is having all these type of things in his home, in his cupboard. Or the children tell you that I had to clean the cupboards and accidentally I came across all these type of filth and I don't know what to do. I'm so ashamed to even tell my father that what if your death has to come in this state. So I said, let us clean up. To keep a record of sins is rebelling against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is as if we are challenging the might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I don't care. If you are seeing, you are watching and you are almighty and powerful, then what? I've got everything secure. What is secure? Nothing is secure. The person's death just comes and the whole world is there now to see what that person really owned and what he had and what he was. What guarantee we have that we are going to die individually? So let us be ever ready. I always say that let us not be like that ever ready battery, that when it's suddenly the light goes off and you need the torch, then the battery fails. It's not working. It's not ready. They call it ever ready, but it's not ready. I even mentioned when many times I have stated this, and I have no hesitation in repeating that even our bodies must be clean. Once a week at least we should remove hair under the armpits and unwanted hair under the navel, and keep our bodies also clean, because we don't know when death can come. So many people, when the mayat comes and when the people have to give ghusl, then what an embarrassment it is for the family members when the person hasn't had his body cleaned. So these are lessons that we must take from what is happening around us. Politics and all we must engage in and take part. Now there is going to be election time. Nobody says you must not stand for elections. Where are all those people who give us so much of advices and nasihats and direction, and they are political analysts and they are this and they are that? Why don't they stand for those elections now? We are complaining that we don't have anybody. So the people who have got knowledge of politics, they understand the politics of the time, they understand the constitution, they understand all the implications of being voted in, so they should stand. There's nothing wrong with that. But go in as a true Muslim, go in as a good Muslim. The little shortcomings, weaknesses that will be there, make istighfar, make tawbah, but lead the community. Who will be able to lead? Those people who've got knowledge in that field. So it's not that because ulama said that you must not go and stand for election, that is why nobody's name seems to be appear on those lists. We are always complaining, and indeed it is the truth that we are being marginalized. So whose duty it is to go and take the leadership positions in those places? Those who went through universities, those who went through colleges, those who've got that kind of ability to lead, they should be leading in that field. Learn the masail and take the direction from the ulama, and then go and participate. Nobody stops you. But don't forget that there's going to be mouth. Don't forget the akhirat. Akhirat is going to come. Tujhko fikre uqba kuch nahi. You have got no concern for the akhirat. He says, the main thing is that the akhirat, we must think of the hereafter, and it's going to come. And the person thinks that qiyamat will come after a couple thousand years, Allah knows when. But as amat al insan qamat qiyamatuhu, the day the person dies, his qiyamat has already started. So my respected brothers, we only didn't even discuss one part of the first point. He said he learnt only 8 lessons, we haven't even discussed the first one. But even if we just take this one lesson, then do everything. We don't say you must be lazy, we say you must be active in society. The Muslim must be the best businessman, his business must progress. If he becomes a doctor, he must specialize, he must go as high as he can. Allah Ta'ala with his fazl has given the best brains to the Muslim. He has given with his fazl and with his ihsan the best brains to the Muslim. That is why we will notice that when a person goes in a certain field, whether it is medicine or whether it is in any other line, engineering and science, then the Muslim progresses very, very rapidly. And he can excel because he has both things with him, iman and that intelligence. But our weakness is this, that we will progress in that one line and we will forget the giver of that intelligence. That is our weakness. Or we will forget that we are Muslims first and then everything else afterwards. So let us be everything, but let us be true Muslims and have this concern. Take lessons from those incidents. Wallah, every time that we hear of a sudden death, then at that time it should be as if we have died. When you read that this person died suddenly in an accident, he was shot and killed. This person was going and then suddenly there was some kind of disaster and the person lost his life. At that time we should make dua for that person, but at the same time we should think that as if that death came upon us. So if my eyes had to have to shut suddenly like that, can I say that I was ready for that? If we are not ready, then start getting ready. And to get ready also we don't have much time, because the past is already past. The present is a present. The present only is a present. And the future is nothing but a mystery. So the past is history, the future is mystery. The only thing that we have left is the present. And the present too, as I talk, it's gone already to the past. That's how speedily the present is going to the past. That second is gone to the past. Now I can't bring back that second. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. But protect us from all the fitnas and the mischief and the corruption that is becoming rampant in the world. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also entire mankind.